If you are watching this on YouTube wondering what the heck is wrong with his arm, bicep injury, tore bicep, ended up needing surgery, things like that. To me, this is a challenge. So I had surgery Thursday. Friday, I was at the gym with my trainer. Welcome back to another episode of the Trepreneur Show. I'm your host, Patrick Summers. And listen, you're probably immediately, if you are watching this on YouTube, wondering what the heck is wrong with his arm. And for those of you listening, I had this huge cast-like structure on my left arm, and I had to be left-handed. Bicep injury, tore bicep, ended up needing surgery, things like that. So I'll get into that in a little bit. It's kind of really prompted the topic of this episode, which is almost a part two. If you remember the last episode, we discussed fasting, and I'll give you some quick follow-ups on that. I went 11 days on a water-only fast. Water and black coffee. I do the black coffee, as I said. That's my morning drink. Other than that, it's strictly water. 11 days, and it's the longest I've ever went. Previous record was 8 days. The fast itself was absolutely amazing. As I've shared, you get into the 72-hour mark, you're rocking and rolling. And I was traveling during this fast. I was in Salt Lake City up at a vendor we deal with, doing some training, brought some team members up there, and I would go out to dinner with them. And I will tell you, one of the restaurants is one of my favorite restaurants in the Salt Lake City area. And they have this dish that I just love. And it's a rotisserie chicken, half a rotisserie chicken, Spanish rice, fried egg, and a little bit of kimchi. Very, very unique meal, I know. But chef does all this different stuff. It was fantastic. And it was like, man, it looked delicious. But I wasn't hungry, wasn't craving it. I was craving the idea of it, but that's about it. So did the whole travel, did that. Worked out while I was fasting for those full 11 days. I think around day 10, day 9, I was thinking like, man, it'll be nice when this fast is over. Not because I was hungry or craving food, but you start to get a little bit of a metallic taste in your mouth. While your energy's still good, you do start to fade a little bit. The days, you kind of get a little bit more tired towards the end of the day. But I still felt good. Where I was in day like 9, 10, 11 was stem cell regeneration. So that was in like high swing. The autophagy was pretty much done with. Now I was in this regeneration of stem cells. So anyways, I had my first meal. It was bone broth on Saturday, day 11. And then I had a light meal salad with some chicken breast for dinner. It's very similar the next day, I decided with my rejuvenated self, I was going to move some storage containers out of my garage into storage. They're these great containers I got from the 29 Palms Marine Base from a contact I have up there. They were getting rid of them, and probably 10 years ago, I got 6 of them. I needed to move 5 of them. I moved 4 out of my garage into a storage unit. They weigh 276 pounds because on the side, the Marines write net weight 276. Every one of them. So I moved the 4 of them. And the 5th one, I decided I was going to change up my lifting technique. Was not a real good idea. Not good at all. It ended up causing me to tear my bicep, technically tear the tendon. And it's my lower bicep, which, as I learned, you have 2 connecting biceps up top and 1 connecting down at the base of the bicep, the distal end. So I snapped it. Also learned that I like pain because I laughed a lot. Which, to me, when something hurts so bad, you just kind of laugh. Anyways, I moved the 5th storage unit. I was able to get that moved with the injury. I get that in place. Went home. By the time my wife was home, I walked in. She thought it was odd. I was laughing like I was. I said, I messed up. I hurt myself. So she's an RN. And, you know, I could hear it pop. And I thought maybe I had a compound fracture. The pain was so intense, so acute. And I looked down. No bone, no blood. But there was deformity, and I was like, oh, man. So anyways, when I go into my wife, I tell her kind of what happened, and she's immediately, well, you got to go to the emergency room. So I'm not going to the emergency room. I used to work in emergency rooms. A lot of people go to the emergency rooms that should not go to the emergency room. The emergency room is for emergencies. The emergency room is for serious stuff, and some people may say that this was serious. I could tolerate the pain. I had distal pulses. everything was fine. I personally would get frustrated when I worked in an emergency room and you had to divert really injured people, because people that were using the emergency room as their primary care physician, totally turns my stomach, disgusts me. That's another topic for another story. So I wasn't going to take up the amazing doctors, nurses, and all the support staff's time on a Sunday with an injury that I could go see an orthopedic doctor for. So I made an appointment, got in the orthopedic doctor for the MRI. And of course, it turns out that it's a complete tear. So I'm going to need surgery. So I had the surgery. Surgery was a success. I have an amazing orthopedic doc. I've known him for many, many years, Dr. Diltz. Thank you, Dr. Diltz. Highly recommend him. And of course, the entire team at DOC Desert Orthopedic Center was fantastic. So I'm in this brace thing now, this cast, and just healing up. So I'll be going back. But that's a story. And, you know, it's kind of ironic. I come out of the fast and then I injure myself. It had nothing to do with fasting. It had to do with me being impatient and stupid and wanting to get this done and not waiting until my son was available later in the day to help me. That's kind of how I operate. Anyways, back to the fast real quick. The fast results. I lost 18 pounds in that amount of time. Strength was the same. I didn't do a before and after analysis of body mass and everything like that, but was there muscle loss? Probably a little bit, but nothing of any significance. The health benefits I got out of it were so much better, because keep in mind, I kept working out this entire time as well. And the body is still feeding. Body is still consuming and having energy and things like that. So anyways, it was a complete metabolic reset. Absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. Highly recommended. Maybe not 10 days or 11 days out of the gate. Like I said in the last episode, start with a 24-hour fast. Work up to a 48-hour fast. 48-hour fast. If you can do a 48-hour fast, you can do a 72-hour and longer, because 48 hours is the tough part. Once you get into that 72 hours, man, you're feeling good. You're rocking and rolling and your body's just doing all the right things. So I'll probably do another 5-day fast in January or February. With that said, I was thinking about, okay, the fasting and the mindset aspect of the fasting. And I tied in, obviously, how that helps me with business, all right? Because business is a lot of mindset and discipline. And this injury is a lot of mindset and discipline. So I go to the doc, I got the surgery, and I have a hunting trip coming up. You may notice the facial hair if you're watching me. I go on a hunting trip every year to Aberdeen, South Dakota with my son. And it's coming up, since we're in November now, it's coming up real soon. This year I was going to pheasant hunt and bow hunt for deer. My doc has pretty much assured me that I won't be able to bow hunt, but his goal is to get me to where I can pheasant hunt, which, you know, that's pulling a trigger with a shotgun. And so I should be healed enough to do that. But bow hunting's out, so I'll go sit in a tree stand with my son and encourage him and just spend good time outdoors with my son. The injury, though, I was watching football over the weekend. And, you know, I was like, man, this injury that I got, like, I'm taking it really serious in the sense of, to me, this is a challenge. So I had surgery Thursday. Friday, I was at the gym with my trainer. Now, wasn't a crazy workout. It was a pretty light workout. But it was about getting the blood moving, right? Just about getting the blood flowing and moving your body. And so day after surgery, that's what I did. I was at the gym today with my trainer. A lot of what I'm doing now with my focus is the benefit of the kinetic energy, where I work my right side, my left side is still going to benefit, even though it's not doing the work. So it's true. It's fact. It's not voodoo magic. And that is my focus right now, is using training and kinetic energy to help rehab my arm. And with that, I've also gotten some different protocols that I have going. I've got some different peptides I'm taking. To me, the mindset, I visualize and I meditate on my body healing itself. I do that whole thing because I believe the body has a tremendous ability to heal itself. Now, my body was not going to go get this tendon and pull it back down where it needed to be and reattach it. That's what we needed the doctor for. That's what the surgeon was for. But now it's up to me. Now it's up to me to eat the right things, do the right physical activity, and do the right mindset and meditation to get myself dialed in. I am convinced I am going to have the most amazing, unbelievable recovery from this. They are going to write white papers on this recovery. Now, am I being a little facetious? Yes. But that's how I believe. That's the mindset I have to have. So then I was going back and I'm thinking, watching football players and thinking about different sports and people that get injuries and they get hurt and how they come back, how they rehab, what they do and what they're doing in that downtime. And I said, you know what? There's a real direct correlation between how someone handles an injury and a setback and success. My business partner, he was on earlier episodes. He's been on several episodes with me. You know, he lost his left hand in an off-roading accident. No left hand, man. He had his hand removed surgically on a Sunday. He was out of the hospital Wednesday, and the following Monday, I believe it was, he was back to work. It might have been Tuesday. But I'm pretty sure it was that Monday. He was out less than a week. You know, his whole attitude was like, well, look, it's bandaged. I've got all the rest of my body. I got my mind. I got my legs. I got my feet. I got my other arm, my other hand. And while this is healing, I can be productive and I can get things going. And also, as he will tell you, mentally, you know, obviously that type of injury is devastating. And unfortunately, many people can go down a bad road with those type of injuries because they sit at home and they're depressed. He got in, he got around the right people, he got around positive people, he put his mind to work, he put his body to work, and absolutely, I have the utmost respect for how he handled that injury. And so now I'm looking like, okay, I got this torn bicep, you know, that's nothing compared to what he went through. So now I'm like, well, shit, I better be in the next day. And so he's actually motivating me, inspiring me to come back quickly. But I just look at professional athletes. Man, the elite athletes, why is it no accident that the more the athlete is elite, one, the less they seem to get injured, and two, the quicker they're back at it or they're being an example of leadership. Even if they're not on the field playing yet, they have a force of presence for the team. They're setting an example. So now that leads me down the road to business and the need to be a force of presence in business, in your business. Right. And that's whether you own the business or you work in the business. We have the ability to be a force of presence. And sometimes you get these people that think you got to be at 100% physically or 100% mentally. Now, that's the goal every day. Right. But really, the win is in showing up. The win is in being present. And the win is being a force of presence for those around you. And to me, I also know who's watching me, and it's my family. You know, my wife, my children, and I need to be that example. Again, kind of a back-to-back episode coming off of the fasting episode, talking about mindset, talking about, you know, what it takes to really get things done, what it takes to deliver and be exceptional and outstanding. And it's not about always being number one. It's not about being the best. While that's always fantastic, it's about showing up. It's about having consistency, and it's about being that positive influence when you walk into a room. It's a game changer, and we all have the ability to do that in any organization we're in. I've got some guys recently that you don't want to be in the room. These people I know, you don't want to be in the room with them. They're going through some stuff. They got junk in the trunk, and it's like, man, they are not the people that I am going to allow myself to be around, because I've got too much I want to get done and too many things I want to accomplish. I don't have time to be around that negative energy. And if I can't be a positive influence to them and affect change in them, then the reality is I just need to remove myself from that situation. And that can be tough, especially when you're close to somebody. But really, that's what it's about. It's about mindset. What do you want? Who are you going to show up as? And who are you going to show up as for yourself and others? And at the end of the day, you got to be able to answer that question. And you also have to know that it's a conscious choice. So if you walk into that room and you're a shit turd, you're choosing to be that. You're choosing to be that. I will tell you, before filming this episode of the podcast, my wonderful sound and audio guy, I shocked the shit out of him because I went off on him a little bit because I was frustrated. There was a piece of equipment that was broken. And you know what? But here's the thing. I chose to be that frustrated person. I allowed myself to be that. And then I accepted. I said, okay, I'm choosing to do this right now. But now I got to choose and get myself out of it. You had your burst that you needed to do. But now choose to move past it. It's replaceable. It's not a big deal at the end of the day, right? But when you're in that moment, you have to realize you're choosing it and you have to own it. Now, you may not realize it at the moment, but as soon as you do, you have to own it. And as soon as you start blaming it on somebody else or something else, you are now a victim and you are now being controlled. And so think about that. You have now chosen to be a victim and you have now allowed others to control your behavior. But really, they can't control your behavior. Only you can control your behavior. But you've given up your dignity by trying to transfer responsibility for your actions to somebody else. It's kind of like when people living rent-free in your head. I was following this car today, little weird car, one of those little beep, beep clown cars. And on the back has a bike rack that some dude hung this flag. It said, F Trump. And if you support Trump, F you, right? But it actually said the word. Look, like Trump, hate Trump, it doesn't matter to me. But I'm like, my God, this guy is driving around with this flag on his car. He is so angry. Trump's living rent-free in his head. Trump is controlling him. He doesn't even know Trump personally. Never met them. Trump's never met him. But Trump has complete control over this guy. He's controlling his rage and his emotions and his actions. He's actually controlling this guy to where this guy is so impacted, he has allowed his anger and hate and bitterness, probably for himself, to drive around with a really obscene, vulgar word, which I say quite frequently, to be honest with you. However, I don't say it around certain people. I'm not going to put something out there in the public that children are going to see, right? That people that would be offended by that are going to see, because it's called respect. Oh, wait, but he was probably a very tolerant person. He probably teaches and preaches tolerance. I'm getting off on my little tangent here, which is very easy for me to do. But look, you get the point, I believe, right? We have to own who we are, who we choose to be, and why we choose to be that person, and how we show up, whether we're hurt, whether we're frustrated, whether we're lonely. We ultimately choose. And Viktor Frankl, I have the quote in my email. This isn't verbatim, but basically it talks about one of the great freedoms is the ability to choose our response. That's the Cliff Note version of the verbatim way. But we have the freedom, we have the gift, we have the power to choose our response to any given set of circumstances. And so ask yourself, if you are the business owner, how are you showing up for your team? How do you show up for your customers? How do you show up for your vendors? If you're a team member, an employee, how are you showing up for your employer who, whether you know this or not, probably at some point in time had to take out a second mortgage on his house so you could get paid? Probably has personal guarantees that could lose everything because he or she took the chance to start a business and to make sure you get paid. How are you showing up for that person? How are you showing up for the customers you serve? How are you showing up for the people you work with? Well, see, one of the most frustrating things is we live in this world today where this generational thing, I believe, it thinks that as long as you're not getting paid, you can take off and take off as much time as you want. And if you're not feeling well because you were irresponsible the night before, or you might have a little cough, that you can just call off. You don't have to go to work. And really what you're doing is you're giving a big F you to your coworkers. The people you sit with every day, you work with every day, you're basically saying, screw you. Why? Because that work still has to get done. And you have a little cough, or your pinky toe hurts, or you were out too late the night before. So you basically say, screw you, I'm not responsible, I'm not going to show up. But show up. How are you showing up? It's a question you have to ask yourself. I ask myself it a lot, sometimes not enough. I'm not sitting here preaching saying I know everything, I know all the answers, that I'm this role model and citizen. I'm not. I just shared with you a moment I had. But it goes back to this mentor. She's still a mentor of mine. I just don't see her as much, talk to her as much. But she shared one time, this was probably 10 years ago. She was talking about how she goes to this trainer. She's going to this trainer. And I guess she had missed a workout or something. And she wasn't consistent. And she told the trainer, look, I just don't have time. And started rambling off all the things. Mother, businesswoman, involved in the community, all this different stuff, that travel, you name it, right? And the trainer said, look, if you don't have time, it's fine. But don't say it's because of this, this, or this. Just say, I choose not to work out. I choose not to work out. Because if I ask you how much TV you watched this week, and even if it's sitting in a hotel room and you watch 15 minutes of the news before bed, you had 15 minutes to work out if you wanted to. but you chose. So you chose not to. So don't give up power. That's what you're doing. Don't give up power. Just say, I choose not to work out. Don't say, I don't have time. I choose not to work out. Don't say, these people irritate me. They make me so mad. No, just say, I choose to be angry. And likewise, I choose to be happy. I choose to find the good in this situation. I choose to find the happiness in this situation. And man, if you can do that, you make your life better. You make the lives of those around you better. And just like, you know, that they talk about the flapping of the butterfly wings, you can have an impact that's felt around the world. Because if we're all doing that, I mean, think about that. If we're all doing that, what is the impact? Look, the last episode on fasting, this episode on injuries and peace, love, etc., and everything like that. Look, at the end of the day, yes, this is the Tradepreneur Show, but if you're a tradepreneur, if you're in the trades, you're a human being and you're living a life, and life is not easy. And guess what? Life is not supposed to be easy. Anybody told you life is supposed to be easy, they probably wrote a book about happiness and have never been through tough times, because that's just not true. Life is supposed to be a roller coaster, up and down. It's not supposed to be a boring merry-go-round that goes round and round. And I challenge you to think back at the times you were on your roller coaster of life. And when you were in the dips, when you were in the downs, did you like it? Probably not. But I guarantee you, and I know this is true for me and many people I talk to, when I'm on the ups, when I'm on the highs, it's then that I look back when I was in the downs and I realize how critical those times were, how much they shaped me, and how much my high is that much better because of what I went through in those down times. And while you never want to go back to them, you certainly never want to be without them, because you know that's a part of shaping you, your character, and who you are. But again, it's what we do. It's what we do in those down times and those high times that really determine our outcome. So at the end of the day, here's just the message I want to deliver. And I deliver this message because this is about as much about reminding me as it is about sharing and hopefully resonating with you. We control our destiny. Things are going to get on our way. We're going to have obstacles. It's not always going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy. But at the end of the day, our destiny is controlled by our attitude and our outlook. And if you keep on keeping on and you stay consistent and you show up, and those times you don't show up, you say, I chose not to show up, you will have a huge impact on your life. So here's another episode in the books. This is episode 40, everyone. Thank you so much for listening, for supporting. Episode 40. I started in January. It is something I really enjoy doing. It is not easy. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you get something out of it. The best you could do, if you want to show appreciation, like, share, comment. I truly appreciate it. Thank you for all your support. And until next time, be great.